Hey, Frank, you there?
Hey, Dave, right here, buddy.
Okay, cool. Hey, everybody, this is Dave Hall. I'm with Agoge Fitness Systems, and I'm bringing you another one of my interview series. Today, I am talking with Frank DeMayo. Frank runs a CrossFit in Sarasota, Florida. He's also one of the few underground strength gyms in the country. And I first came into contact with Frank through my good friend Zach Marcy. Frank and I and Zach all are both underground strength coaches certified through Zach Evanesh. And Frank runs a very active Facebook page dedicated to keeping strength coaches, underground strength coaches, connected and moving forward in the process. And so I'm very honored and pleased to be able to spend some time with him today. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great, man. I can breathe again after that entire phone and running workout I was doing. Feel good.
Good, good. Frank, tell folks a little bit about you. I first came face to face with Frank a couple weeks ago at Elliot Hulse's Strengthology 4, and to be honest, I was surprised and completely pleased when I actually met you and saw you face to face. I think, like many of us, we sort of draw assumptions about the people that we talk to or interact with online, and your on your page. On the underground strength page, your avatar is an underground strength logo. So I just assumed that that Frank was kind of a meathead like the rest of us, and sort of pegged him in, you know, in his middle 30s or something like that, tops. But I was very pleased to find an elder statesman in our group, somebody with a lot of life experience. So. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Frank, and first start off and amaze us all with how old are you?
Well, I've been 18 over three times.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. I joke with people. I actually turned 62 in August, and I told my beautiful young wife that I should be about approaching middle age.
Nice, nice. I'm glad to hear that. I like that. That's got style. Frank, I know you don't know this, but I lost my dad about a year and a half ago, and he was 62 when he passed. So the difference between my father and he died from cancer. He was a computer programmer all his life. He'd grown up on and around my grandfather's farm, and so I had a very physical youth, but like many that grow up sort of being forced into physical labor, he ran as far away from it as he could get. Still maintained that work ethic, but slaved in front of a computer terminal for all of his adult life. And so the comparison between your physique and your physicality and my dad's at 62 are miles apart. So, you know, just kudos to you. I have a lot of respect for you just for that. As we get into this conversation, I'll be able to reveal a lot more respect I have for you. But just starting right off that, when I saw you, I was like, wow, this guy's really, he's got something going on.
I appreciate your kind words, Dave, and condolences about your father. I lost my dad about 2 years ago. He was quite a bit older than that, but we have some more mutual common ground there, I should say.
Yeah.
Big hole in both of our lives.
Yeah, that's it's quite an experience to go through. I don't recommend it for anybody, but you definitely come out of it changed and mature, for sure.
Yeah.
So. Well, tell everybody, let's see, let's start with the present. Let's start with, you currently have a gym in Sarasota. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you've got going on there.
Okay. Actually, we became involved with the CrossFit phenomenon, I guess you'd call it. It was not any type of a phenomenon when I found it. There was only four CrossFit gyms in the world in 2004 when I was training at a Russian martial arts school. from Systema practitioners, and one of the young guys there had mentioned to me about something called CrossFit. I never heard of it, so I just went and checked it out. It looked pretty grueling and intimidating. I said, I was looking a little further into this. So I just kind of kicked the tires and lurked on your website for about a year, and then I finally flew to Santa Cruz, California, and my training into the founder, Greg Glassman, back then, and came back, and we opened up the 35th CrossFit gym ever opened in the world.
Wow.
Wow. You actually trained under Glassman. That is, that's very impressive. I did not know that. That's, you're completely cutting edge. That's super.
I might have been crazy. I don't know, man. But it was truly, I look back now, it was a pretty amazing time with some of the very first CrossFit people out there and the very first CrossFit. But, you know, it's funny because at the same time frame, I also found Zach Evanesh and Smitty and Jed. We used to be Diesel Crew. Now they have Diesel Crew and Diesel Strength. A few other notable guys that I still follow today. Mike Mahler has been a big influence on my training, and Bud Jeffries, Strongman. All these guys, I'm still in touch with all of them, and I still am greatly impacted by their teaching and by their example.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's my experience has been the strength community in particular as an aspect of the entire fitness community is so inclusive and so embracing and supportive of each other's of work that yeah, you meet some tremendous people who are so giving and willing to share, you know, their knowledge and what they've experienced, yourself included. So that's rare, I'm finding, in other industries. And so it's something that we as strength trainers and enthusiasts should be very proud of. It's definitely indicative of our strength, I think.
Okay. That's an excellent point, Dave. You know, I believe that we should be I use the phrase an eclectic learner. We should be able to gather information from all credible sources. And a lot of people will only take information from like-minded people. If they have a similar worldview as them, and if they're different in worldview, they won't listen to them. Now, I know that is a bogus way to go through life. Everybody has something you can learn, whether or not you don't have to agree on everything in the world to learn from each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's I think that's again another example of why I like you so much, Frank. That's a fabulous philosophy. It echoes Thomas Jefferson's idea of, you know, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And yes. Sure enough, it's the diversity from where we get growth. So that's very, very cool. How big is your gym right now?
My gym is almost identical in size to Zach Evanesh's gym, about 1,400 square feet.
Nice.
Very small.
Nice. Yes. Well, you know, I mean, we say very small, but there's so much that can go on in that space that I've been in much bigger places where not nearly as much was happening. I've been watching some of your videos over the last couple of weeks, and I've been looking at and watching your clients, and clearly they have found a home and a very positive place to be. So that's very cool.
Thank you, Dave. We get some pretty remarkable people here, and I'm real proud of every one of them. And yeah, they're good. We keep it a small group environment. In fact, if I could interject this here real quick,
sure.
Got some really good ideas on not just on running a gym, training wise, but on how to add value to what you do in the gym. And Louis Simmons, for instance, Westside Barbell. You just can't walk into Westside Barbell. And here, okay, that's like you just. You know, you better really belong there before you walk in the door.
And, yeah.
You think if you're listening to Zach Evanesh's lost Secrets of Strength business file where he does an interview with Joe DeFranco and himself had an open discussion. Joe DeFranco closed his gym, basically, and started throwing people out, and it really raised the value of what he was offering. And we followed suit on that. We made this a closed training environment where anybody who walks in the door is not automatically going to be able to train here. I don't care if they pull out $1,000 and say, I'm ready to train. They get a measure up attitude-wise, mindset-wise. I don't care what shape they're in, but their attitude has to be right on track or I tell them to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the most important aspect. The body can be changed so much more than the mind can. And so, you know, you got to get your mind right before you do anything else. It affects everything else.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm doing the quick math here, and you got certified for CrossFit Gym 8 years ago, 2004.
Yeah. Actually, and, well, we found in 2004. We actually took my trainer's course in 2005 because, like I said, I had major intimidation factor and not really knowing what CrossFit was yet. I kind of studied it from a distance for about a year, and I saw something there that looked like it was going to be very worthwhile to get involved with. So we went ahead, and like I said, they were unknown at that time, practically, so it was a very small circle of people.
So not only did you go out on a limb business-wise, but you underwent the whole training to be a CrossFit trainer at 55. Is that right?
Yep, that's true. Yeah, it's an interesting chapter in the book, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm going to say that the vast majority of people listening to this, you know, I mean, my target audience is probably 35 to 65. Those are the sort of the people that I think are attracted and drawn to me and what I do. And so I think everyone along that spectrum are definitely going to be impressed by somebody who not only was going to take a business risk at a point where most people are thinking about retirement, but also to engage in, I mean, obviously you were in great shape to begin with, but still at 55 taking on something that, you know, most 20-year-olds are intimidated by, that's some serious testimony to your spirit, my friend. That's some power.
I appreciate that, David. The CrossFit trainer's course back then was 3 days instead of the 2 days that it is now. And to be honest with you, I couldn't walk for a week afterwards. It about killed me, but it was worth it, you know?
So speak to us for a minute about, you know, what it took to get, again, we're talking about, you know, you have to have your mind right before, you know, the body will follow. You know, how did you get to such a place, you know, in your life that, you know, that was, again, something that you're like, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I guess, if I could say, while I was coming up, I would like the last pick for any sports team if I got picked at all. I'm a little short, fat kid. You know, we've heard that story a lot at that Elliott's seminar a while ago. So that's pretty common for a lot of people now in the training business. But I had nothing to lose by trying to go a different path than everybody else. Okay, and you know, because what they're doing is not fitting my life. So I'm not going to. I started from a very young age, wanted to follow the crowd, you know, and it just kind of kept on. I got involved with individual training endeavors, martial arts, and things that I could do alone. And then some people I trained with, I wanted people, when I got around other people that we did train, we always trained in small groups. Everyone there was fiercely dedicated to what they were doing, and it just rubbed off on me, you know. Later when I went into the military and served with the airborne unit, the guys were tight, they were dedicated, they were, you know, they were there, they wanted to be there, and so it wasn't in the large amount of numbers, but in the quality of the people and the tightness of the unit, the cohesiveness, and the common mindset. So we can carry that over to business. You know, all around me, gyms are trying. I've got probably within a half a mile of me, six or seven gyms. And then within 2 or 3 miles, they have probably 5 or 6 more gyms that are like monsters, you know, like 10,000 square feet and $10 a month and all that stuff. And who cares? You know, they don't do what we do. And so they get a whole other market. So we don't turn people away unless they measure up. And I'm glad to. Not in a mean way, but, you know, we want to make it count, add value for the people that are here.
It's interesting to hear you talk about your martial arts background, because that's where actually I got my start. You said Sistema, and my ears perked up. I was like, oh wow, that's cool. And so it's interesting for me personally to hear that parallel. You know, I actually started off in college with real soft styles. So I started with Tai Chi and began doing progressively more and intense styles, and I think very slowly worked my way up into it was actually the martial arts that led me into fitness, because I was pursuing a style that was much more physically demanding than my current fitness level would allow for. And so fitness became a vehicle to get me into my martial arts. And then, interestingly, over time, the martial arts fell away and fitness took precedent, particularly strength. And it's also interesting to hear you talk about, you know, growing up being, you know, a short, fat kid, because, you know, I definitely grew up, I wasn't short, but I was still, you know, a pudgy, stocky kid, tended towards, you know, being heavy. Certainly was made fun of growing up being fat. And I think that for many of us, those early childhood lessons, and particularly those lessons of feeling, you know, powerless or not feeling as grand and as great as we might otherwise feel, pushes us to, as adults, to do something about that. And it provides a great opportunity for, you know, for life development, to pursue martial arts, fitness, these types of things, and gives us a drive that other people, you know, who lack that sense of adversity don't necessarily have. So I think, you know, again, it's funny that we can actually be grateful for those experiences and those things that happen to us that propels us now to do bigger and better things. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm with you on that. Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, in fact, I was just on your website a while ago looking at your blogs and all the other aspects of it. You got a great website, and the blog is very interesting, and it looks like a really cool place where you train people. So
thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate
that.
Really nice, man.
I feel blessed.
Yeah, you got it, man. You got a nice place. That's and then from what I can tell, talk with you, that they have a good coach, so that's good.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Frank. I'll tell you, okay, so the second thing that I noticed about you was that you have 2 very distinctive tattoos on your forearms. And I have, I never was in the military myself, but both my grandfather served in World War II, both my uncles were in Vietnam, and so I have a brother-in-law who is a colonel in the Army. So I have military sort of vicarious connections. But your tattoos are from overseas. How old were you when you were in the military?
Well, actually, I was, I'm not going to give you an exact age, but I was older than most, because I kind of lived my life backwards.
Yeah.
And you can tell from what I sent you earlier today that man, it's a lot of things crash and burn in my life when I first started off. And I had a situation I had to deal with for quite a few years before I actually was able to go in the military. So I entered at a later age than most.
Again, so you had to go through basic, and you were in the Army, right?
Right. Huh?
Okay, so you had to go through basic at an age where most guys that are, you know, are several years younger than you. So again, that puts you at a disadvantage of having to work harder. That's a tremendous spirit you've got there, my friend. My mother's father was, when World War II broke out, was older. So he was already plus 30. And it was a time where, you know, everybody who was anybody was trying to get in. And he had to enlist 6 times before they would finally take him. They kept putting him off because they said he was too old. But, so he spent 6 individual trips to the recruiter's office trying to get enlisted before they would take him. So, what's that?
No, go ahead. I'm listening to this.
I was just saying that, you know, I can respect somebody who is willing to not only make that sacrifice, but to make it at an older age. That's really cool. That's really cool. And you were airborne infantry, so you jumped out of planes, right?
Yeah, actually, I was an airborne combat engineer, which is a different job, but you know, you still jump. We had to different mission, mobility, counter mobility stuff, and you know, it was a very interesting field.
Yeah. Wow. So those tattoos, you served overseas, right?
There's some of these are from, most of them I got Fort Bragg, home of the airborne. Anyway, they got yeah, I spent some time, a little time in Korea, a little time in Thailand, some time down in Central America doing some other things down there with some small unit stuff. And so it was an interesting time. We didn't end up where many other people ended up, and we were doing some different kind of things. Not always what's known in the newspapers.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes on that doesn't make it into the newspapers, and so that in and of itself is something that you should be respected for, because you know those are sacrifices and risks that you were willing to take for our country that nobody even knows about to thank you for. So on behalf of all of us who have been able to rest on our laurels based off of the work that you've done and others like you, I just, you know, I take a chance to say thank you. I appreciate your service and I appreciate what you've done for our country.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much, Dave. You know, I have to say, the people ask me, well, what did you do in the military? I follow my orders, you know. That's why I follow my orders. That's what a soldier does. He follows his orders, you know. And I don't have any big grandiose stories to tell people. You know, my father was a hero in a World War II Marine in the Pacific War, and that's a hero. You know, the guys.
Yes.
It was brutal. The Pacific War was over there for like 3 years.
Both of my grandfathers served in the Pacific, so. I have stories from my grandfather that I definitely look to him as an icon of my own genetic potential. I told you that I lost my dad. My grandfather is actually still alive. He's about to celebrate his 93rd birthday in a couple of days.
Oh, that's amazing! That's amazing. That's that is good stock for sure.
Yeah, he's quite a guy. He's and you know, they don't make them like they used to. There's the casual stories that I would hear, you know, just as one example that one of the stories that my uncle tells about my grandfather is that you know, they lived on a farm, and so when my grandfather was running fences, he would load up all the fence posts onto a wagon, you know, a flatbed wagon, and draw it along the fence line that he was building. My uncle and my father would sit underneath the wagon and hold the fence post upright while my grandfather just drove it into the ground with a sledgehammer. So he wasn't wasting time digging a hole or anything like that. He was just beating these posts into the ground, driving 2 or 3 feet into the ground so that they're solid and not going to go anywhere and move on to the next one. And that is a level of strength, of both physicality and character, that I myself aspire to. It's phenomenal, the things that their generation were capable of.
You know, they've been called the greatest generation. I believe it was Tom Brokaw's book that came out years ago, and rightfully so. You know, just it's an amazing time, a very tough time in the history of America and the world, and the people that came through that, and the many that didn't, were really, really to be respected and admired. And, but, you know, currently, you know, like I said, I have no grandiose stories to tell. I'm not going to try. But the people that are serving now, they really have it hard, and they really deserve our respect. And people need to remember that they're over there and quit being blasé about, man, we're at war still, you know?
Absolutely, yes. I think that's something that is conveniently forgotten, you know, that we are still at war, and there are people fighting for us, and, you know, most of us don't even give it a second thought.
Yeah, some of my guys that I trained right here are there now, and or have been there back several times, and one of my buddies just returned from he trained here before he went in, and went into a 5th Special Forces group as a sniper, and he just came back recently. We had lunch together, and, you know, that was awesome. They'd have come back in one piece, and, you know, the other guys over in headed off to the different areas of special ops and stuff in the Air Force, and number of Marines and so on that have, you know, all come through this gym on their way into the military, and thank God all of them are still alive, you know, it's great. You know?
Yeah. All right, that sort of brings me towards one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, and one of the things that we talked about a little bit a couple weeks ago when we were in St. Petersburg together is talk to me about what you think about the character and the quality of the American male today, and where we are, and what, if anything, you think we need.
Oh, man. Put on your seatbelt, brother. No, I'll just be bad. Well, to tell you the truth, you know, I haven't always been the man that I needed to be in my own life, so I'm not going here to criticize other people. You know, we're all on a journey, we're all on a process of, like you said on your website, and Elliot said, becoming the strongest version of ourselves. But I think there's a long way to go for barring the examples of the guys that really stepped up to lead and to fight and to do it, you know, to take care of their families and to fight the war and do everything that they're doing. I think there's a lot of people that are disconnected, pretty much abdicated their responsibilities, as that gets caught up with the soft, lazy, and apathetic, and that's the mess we're in.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's a general sense of apathy, really, that it's hard to ignite, you know, passion, and you know, in the population at large. I think, you know, but it's particularly, as we talk about with young men, and I think that's really kind of a tragedy. I mean, if you're not excited about your life, if you're not excited about being here, what are you doing?
True. Very true. Very true. And, you know, it makes the people who are focused and disciplined and determined just shine that much more brightly in this culture. But it's a bad state of affairs. And this generation will be the first generation not to outlive its parents. poor nutrition, lack of exercise in general, lack of purpose in their life. And he said, I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm trying to give you an honest answer. And I see it here all the time where I live. You know, just so much work to be done. And, you know, my goal, and probably similar to yours, is I want to de-wussify America one person at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's a great bunch of really strong, really brave people in America. So don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good ones out there who will step up and do the job. But there's a lot who won't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, your gym is sort of your soapbox, your opportunity to actively engage, you know, one person at a time, like you say. What is it about that? How do you use your gym to help embolden, you know, people's spirit and help you know, reignite their passions for life?
One thing we do, since we work in such small groups, we can really get an accurate idea where each person is when they come in and what they're looking for, what they hope to achieve. And one of the biggest things we do is really keep them on what I call removing their mental speed bumps. They're very, people are big at being self-limiting mentally, and which carries over into their being self-limited physically, as you know, you're a good coach, and we spend a lot of time on the mental aspect of the training, getting past that, getting people over. Put out a young lady here, very strong, that never thought she could do pull-ups for the longest time. And one day I said, listen, give yourself permission to do it. And, you know, I started banging out pull-ups. She had already been strong enough a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
And, but mentally, she didn't have the confidence to go there yet. So that's one of the main things we do with people. And we'll call an out on it, like, hey, you're not letting yourself do that. You're already strong enough, but you will not let yourself do it, you know? And we just did that this morning. We were working on, you know, Matt's footstep. And the gal's getting a little hesitant on getting the heavy overhead work in. You know, when they were done, they both of them had added over 25 pounds to what they thought, more than they thought they could do.
Yeah. Yeah, the mind is so crucial to what the body can do. And I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about my work, and it clearly sounds like you do too. And probably one of the reasons that we're both drawn to people like Elliot and Zach is that the capacity for your physical training and fitness training, strength training in particular, to increase your mental capacity, not only just in terms of, you know, I mean, I do believe that training makes you smarter, but I also believe that it increases your ability to believe in yourself, to envision, you know, your own personal possibilities, and to really open up capacities for growth that no other activity can do. And so it's why I keep coming back to it time and time again, and why I keep singing its praises to anybody who will listen, is that you know, nothing gives you the opportunity for growth the way that strength training does.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, when you were asking about the gym, really about basically how we help people to, you know, to become emboldened, and what Louise combined in this gym, what I call my own version of training called de-wussified fitness, and where we start incorporating CrossFit training, underground strength training, strongman training, and martial arts, and we have different aspects of training throughout the day. Some of our workouts are mega high intensity, they're fairly short, maybe 20 minutes, but they're full out, no rest efforts. and others sometimes maybe with X, a new Project X. Project X, you know, we started Project X about 2 weeks ago, and some of those workouts are about 2 hours long and, you know, brutal in a great sort of way. So we try to give them a full spectrum of training ranges where, you know, one, they feel like their heart's going to jump out of their chest at any moment, and others, they feel like they just can't go any further, but they do. And
Yeah, that's just tremendous to face down a workout like that and to come out on the other side and just that sense of confidence and achievement that for, you know, oh, I was scared of it and to come out through, yeah, that's just excellent. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Well, Frank, is there, if you were to sum up real quick, for us, just, you know, in a couple sentences, what you think that, you know, your mission is, your personal path for what you're here to do, what would you sum that up to be?
Well, I'll tell you, I look at it this way here. God gave me the gift of coaching and the environment and the tools to coach other people in. I'm going to be as diligent as I possibly can every day of my life, as long as I'm able to still stand on 2 feet to get it done. Get one person at a time in this country and make them the best that they possibly can become, the strongest, most fit, most capable, and responsible people that they can be.
That's inspiring. I like the sound of that a lot. I'm glad to know you, Frank. I'm glad to be able to work alongside you and to share this path and this opportunity together. And I can't wait for an opportunity to come down and train in your gym, man. If I were living down near Sarasota in Florida, how would I get in touch with your gym? How would I go about if what you say just sings in my heart and I really want to come train with you? How would I go about doing that?
Okay, well, the easiest way to find us would be go to our main website, CrossFitGulfCoast.com, and that will have the map and the contact info and everything right on there, the phone number. You can also just Google DeWussified, DeWussified, and my name will probably come up.
Excellent. I know you've got a couple of products out there that people might not know about. I know you've got that pull-up program. What have you got that's out on the market right now if people are not near the Sarasota area but they still want some of Frank DeMayo? How do they go about doing that?
Well, the pull-up program called the Wixified Pull-Up Strategies, they can there's a link to that on my blog, and the blog is linked to from my website. But once again, push in DeWussified into Google, you'll probably come right to my blog, and there's a link right there for it.
Excellent.
And, got a couple of other things in the works. Got some movement. It's the what I call a grappler bar workout system that's coming up next, and that will be hopefully within the next probably 6 weeks, that'll be up also.
Excellent. Very cool. Very cool. I look forward to seeing it. Frank, really appreciate this time that you've given me to get a chance to talk to you and get to know you a little better and to share your stories with everybody here. Is there anything you'd like to close with before we sign off?
Yeah, well, I would like to thank you. I'm glad I got to meet you, and we got some good common ground on several areas of our lives there, and I'll get some common mindset on numerous things that are important. And also, one more time, I'd like to say a huge thank you to all our men and women in uniform serving now in the military and all those that have served. You know, we wouldn't have a country without you, and just, I am very thankful for all of you.
Amen to that. Well, all right, Frank, I'm going to let you go here, and you have a great afternoon, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay, my friend. Thank you for your call.
All right. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.